Luke 14 this morning in your Bible, Luke chapter 14. We don't have a special on the days that our young people sing for us. And so, I said, well, one of those boys misbehaved. Listen, I'm here during school days with your kids. Okay. Some of them misbehave too once in a while. And so they did a good job singing. Amen. It was good. It was fun to see the little kids waving at their relatives. So, Luke chapter 14, if you're able to stand with me in honor of God's word. I'm going to read three verses, beginning in verse number 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, and I'll bring you up to date on the setting here in just a minute. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I want to speak this morning on bus ministry blessings. Bus ministry blessings. Father, bow before you this morning with a very happy heart, full of joy at what we get to enjoy on a weekly basis here by running those old buses and seeing young people, teenagers, and even, yes, moms and dads come to church. So, Lord, we rejoice in that. Speak to our hearts this morning. This will be a little bit different type of message, but I pray you'll use it to encourage us, to challenge us, to help us. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener, in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. It never gets old to see these kids come over and sing for us and quote Bible verses. It just never gets old. I'm so thankful that our church has a bus ministry. It is expensive and more so now than ever. And not just the price of gas, people. You bought any parts for your car lately? Well, parts for buses are no different. And insurance and on it goes. It's also labor intensive for those who serve in it. But the rewards are through the roof. Not only here on earth, but also for eternity. Now, when you come to chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus was invited to the house of one of the chief Pharisees on the Sabbath day for a meal. And the Bible says that they watched him. You see that at the end of the verse. That's all the other guests of this chief Pharisee. They watched. You know, Jesus was scrutinized by that crowd everywhere he went. The religious lost. That's why I get worried about even people here sometimes. Always looking like, what are they doing? That's what that, you know, Jesus didn't have trouble with the common sinners. He had trouble with the religious lost. And so they're watching him. But anyway, verses 2 through 6, I'm not going to take the time to read it. At the feast, people that think the Bible is a boring book, it's because they don't read it. At the feast, there was a man with a physical handicap. And Jesus healed him. And that threw these religious lost people into a tizzy. And boy, did Jesus ever, let me say it in our vernacular, shut them up. He said to them, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? In other words, you'll help your donkey. You'll help your cow on the Sabbath day, and you won't think anything of it. But I heal a man, and you're all torqued up. They couldn't answer a word to that. They just look at verse 6, and they could not answer him again to these things. They finally wised up. You know, let's just stop talking. In fact, maybe they just need to stop thinking, you know, because he could read their thoughts as easy as hear their words. So he puts them to shame. And then verses 7 through 10, you know, while they were watching him, he was watching them. And he watched how some of them came in and scurried for the best seats in the house. And he said, you know what? When you're bidden to a feast or to a marriage supper, he said, don't go to the fanciest seats. Go to the lowest seats, because when you go to the fancy seat and the guy comes and says, hey, I need you to move, you're going to be embarrassed. He said, go to the lowest seat, and if you're supposed to move up, he'll keep us in. It was a lesson on humility, and they needed it, and so do you and I. And so he's giving them these. Verse number 12, he spoke to the man who had invited him to the supper. And paraphrasing, Jesus said, look, when you make a feast, don't call those who are in your comfort zone. Don't call your friends, your brothers, your distant relatives, or your rich neighbors. You know, don't call the ones who are likely to invite you to their house for supper to pay you back. He said in verse 13, 14, when you host a feast, call those outside your comfort zone. Call the ones that cannot have you to their house for a feast. Call the ones who can't return some type of recompense to you. And if you'll call those outside your comfort zone who can't return the favor to you, you will be blessed. You'll receive blessings not only here on earth, but in eternity. So this was a rich man whose world consisted of people who materially were his equal or above him. And Jesus told him to spend some time and spend some money and spend some effort reaching out to those who cannot spend the same on you. And it won't hurt you. In fact, you will be blessed. Now, people, there's no mention of a bus, even in the Greek. There's no mention of a bus in this passage right here, okay? But the bus ministry makes it possible for a church to follow the principle that Jesus taught here. And it makes it possible for a church to reap the rewards of which he spoke in this parable, this story. The truth is, spending yourself for those who cannot repay you is consistent with what the bus ministry is all about. You know, there is no other weekend and week out ministry that consistently reaches out to those who, for the most part, cannot recompense us like the bus ministry. Now, once in a while, a bus captain will come in with a monetary gift from one of the families whose kids ride the bus. But that's not often, and that's not why we do it. If we had this ministry, if we had to be fiscally sensible to have a ministry that pays for itself, we wouldn't have a bus ministry. If you're talking about dollars and cents. Okay? And that's what Jesus is trying to teach these people. He'll teach this man right here. Now, if you'll bear with me for just being personal this morning and just have some patience with me, I was introduced to the bus ministry at age 19. Before I left the boys' ranch there to go to college, the wife of the director started a bus route on the mountain where we lived. We lived on Walden's Ridge outside of Graysville, Tennessee, Pikeville, Tennessee. And so she started a little bus route up there, and Mike allowed a couple of us older boys to ride along to be a help to her on the bus. We picked up a few kids there on the mountain and brought them to church. And really, I was just a few weeks away from leaving to go to college. So I never visited the route. And I really didn't understand all that the bus ministry was about. And then in September of 76, I landed at Bible College over here at Hiles Anderson. And easygoing Jim Vineyard tactfully placed me and 98% of all the other freshmen in the bus ministry. Stand up. If your name begins with S, you go over here, you're over here, you're over here. We didn't have a choice. We just went where we were told, and we were put in the bus ministry. I was assigned to Division 6 under the leadership of Cloyd Helton. I've mentioned him before. I could talk about Cloyd for a while this morning, but I won't do that. He put me on bus 90-11 to work with Ralph Hansen, and I began to learn the real meaning of being in the bus ministry. Ralph was a senior, and to be honest with you, without criticizing him, he had already exited the bus ministry in his heart. He was done. He was just passing time. He was leaving. And by December, he was off the route. Now, we started, this started in September. In 4 months, he's off the route. And the bus director made me the captain. I'm 19 years old. I've been saved over a little over a year, and I was given the responsibility of taking a bus and going to Chicago with that bus and picking up people and bringing them to church in Hammond, Indiana at 19. I was in the bus ministry, but it wasn't long before the bus ministry was in me. It's just the way it works. It was in me. And for 4 years, I spent almost every Saturday and Sunday in Chicago on that bus, either visiting on Saturday, picking up the kids. I did some Tuesday nights. I would start early on Sunday morning, go to Chicago in the bus, pick them up, bring them in for Sunday school and church, take them back home, circle around with the bus, pick up teenagers, bring them back to the evening service. And then after the evening service was over, put them back on the bus, take them back to Chicago, come back, get in about 12:30 and go to work at 1:30. Yeah, that's what my mother said all those years I was there. What are you doing? That was my schedule. But I was in the bus ministry, and the bus ministry was in me. When I graduated, I went to Iowa, and for 10 years, I directed the bus ministry. I saw a handful of those fellows yesterday at that meeting who served in the bus ministry there. I was told by Brother Brown yesterday about a boy who rode the bus from Muscatine with us, who is now pastoring a church. Now pastoring a church. We had two routes. I oversaw the bus ministry there in Iowa. I don't know how many routes we had. I think we had three routes when I went there, and I oversaw that bus ministry. And then I came here, and we had two routes, and I oversaw the bus ministry here for a few years. And I was even a bus captain in Kankakee for a while here. I ran the bus on Sunday morning, came in and taught Sunday school in the old auditorium, preached, and then took the kids home, and then came back, did choir practice, and did the evening service, and I loved it. I remember when we had David Gibbs here, CLA attorney, and they were really, they were really on churches, do not abuse the passenger limit on the bus. If it's a 60-passenger bus, have 60 kids. If it's a 72-passenger bus, have 70. That morning in Kankakee, we had 96 people on the bus. And I came flying in, and he's in my office. Because I asked the guys, put him in there. And I came flying into my office, and he said, we had taken him out to eat on Saturday night. He knew I was going to be on the bus. He said, well, how was the bus? I said, man, we had 96. And he just... I said, I'm sorry, I'm dyslexic. It was 69 people on the bus. And I loved it. During those years, I spent time, energy, money, and my heart on people who, for the most part, spent nothing in return on me. Do you understand what I'm saying? But this is the truth, folks. The bus ministry has done more for me than I ever have done for the bus ministry. And that is not without, that's not without knowing. That's not knowing what waits in eternity. Now, I want to give you three blessings that the bus ministry has provided to me. Can I be personal with this morning? Okay, just bear with me a little bit, all right? Number one, the blessing of learning to appreciate what God had given me. When I got to Chicago and I started going to those homes of people who lived in the area, bordered by North Avenue and Chicago and Pulaski and Cicero, I saw things there I had never seen as a boy. I saw homes broken by sin. I saw homes broken by alcohol. Home after home where dad was absent. And mom worked in the tavern where there was discord and ugliness and fighting. And worst of all, no Jesus. No Jesus. And I'm ashamed to say it. But I really believe for the first time in my life, I appreciated what my dad and mom had given my brothers and me in our home. Dad came home every night, sober. I never saw him drunk. I never heard my dad cuss. Ever. Dad and mom loved each other. Dad and mom loved us. And although not a perfect home, at least it was not stained by the devil of alcohol and other things that caused dysfunction. And you know, I thought this morning I should say to the youth in our church who've been blessed with parents who are saved and committed to following Jesus Christ, appreciate what you have. Amen. You know, I was thinking about many of you young people. Your home is environmentally Christian. It really is. It's environmentally Christian. Your refrigerator is beer, liquor, and wine free. Bibles can be found on tables in your family room and next to beds. Bible verses on plaques are hung on the walls. God-honoring music plays through wireless speakers, and cuss words are not heard, and smoke from cigarettes and marijuana joints is not wafting through the air. Do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how blessed you are? Do you appreciate how blessed you are? You fuss at dad and mom because they hold you to a standard of behavior that's just biblical. You need to stop that nonsense and quit scowling and put a smile on your face. And some of you need to have a consultation with your countenance. Because literally, you look like you're bored to death with God, the Bible, Jesus, the songs of God, like you're just bored to tears. Well, I'm not. Well, change your face. Some of that would happen if you'd really get an appreciation for what your parents have provided for you. They're trying to raise you in the fear and the nurtured admonition of the Lord. And listen to me, and I'm done with this point. If you do this, you will not have to live with the regret that I still live with at age 65. You say you're a pastor. You've been in ministry for 43 years, saved for 47, and you live with regret? Yes, because I didn't appreciate what God had given me in my family as a boy. I'm ashamed of that. I'm glad I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I love my dad. Had wonderful years with him before he went to heaven. I love my mom. I'm thrilled that she's here. But man, if I could change those years. I can't. So we'll put it under the blood. Easier said than done. It's under the blood. I get it. But it's not out of my mind. Taught me to appreciate what I have. And then number two, the bus ministry taught me the blessing of bringing people to church. You know, there is something about bringing a guest or a person to church that changes your experience with church. Those of you that had a guest here last Sunday, or, you know, you've had a guest here in the past, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you personally, we benefit from being in the classes in Sunday school, in the services where the preaching is going on, the singing and all that. But while you're getting a benefit from being there personally, you're also thinking about the one that you brought to the church. What are they thinking in class? What are they thinking in the service? You know, will they get saved? I hope they're enjoying it. I look out and I see the bus captain sitting beside people who came on the bus or drove in as a result of the captain visiting. And there is always a look of anticipation on their face. Sometimes it can be a look of, oh boy, I hope it's okay. Like the time we had the police and chief appreciation, the police and firemen appreciation day here. And I think it was you, Brother Jeff, brought that fella from Moments. And the chief of police and the chief of the fire department and the officer were sitting right over here, about where you're sitting. And there was a fellow over here who was decked out. I mean, he had a hat, had the whole nine yards. He's decked out. And I'm up there preaching away, and I hear this, "Get him, Shep! Get after him, Shep! Go get him, Shep!" I look over there, and he is on his knee between the pews. He's got his hand up, and I guess I'm the shepherd. And he's telling me, "Get him, Shep!" And the police chief and the just like, I've never forgiven Brother Jeff for that. But you would either. Good, because I won't. I thought of all days, to bring this guy to church. Or six kids. Some of you remember that from a fellow that was brought to church here. In the old building, I mentioned in my sermon that I had six kids. Yeah, I know it was a mistake, brother. Hang on, that was bad, you know. Or you know, the time I said, you know, turn to Luke chapter 14, and it's page 1095 in your King James Bible. What if you don't have a King James Bible? Okay, I mean, all that stuff is going on here. And that night they honored my wife, and Denny came and gave her a big hug. I don't know if you remember that. Oh, my goodness. You just don't know what's going to happen, you know. And people who aren't used to being in church, and they don't know how to respond sometimes. You know, that first Saturday, we had that bus meeting up here when I was in school. And then they sent us to Chicago, and Ralph took me up there. Ralph, I don't mean to diss Ralph, throw him under the bus. Ralph was a good guy, but he was checked out. I mean, he was checked out. And he took me, I'm 19, Chicago. He says, "Well, this is the street. You just need to visit this street. Tell him we'll pick him up here about 8:45 in the morning, one of our last stops." I'm by myself in Chicago, 19 years of age. I haven't been in Hammond a week. I haven't been, and here I'm in Chicago, and visit this street. Okay, so I just started in. And, you know, I forget the responses, but eventually I came to this place, this house. And I told him about the bus and the Sunday school, Hispanic family. And she said, "Yeah, I'd love for them to ride." Excuse me? "Yeah, I'd love for them to ride." And I said, "Okay, 8:45. And, you know, the next morning, as we were going through the route, we kept getting closer and closer to that street, to my street. And Ralph told me, he said, "You run to the door." Ed Denis was driving. He said, "You run to the door because you signed him up." And, man, we pulled up in front of that house, and I jumped off. And before I got to the door, it opened, and out those four kids came to church. And that was the first time I'd ever gotten anybody to get on a church bus. My. Just the anticipation, the excitement of bringing somebody to church. And then when they do get saved, when God does a work in their heart, you know, the fireworks are going off in their heart, but also going off inside of you. Tuesday night, Brother Marcus and I followed up on some people from last Sunday and went to the house of this lady who wasn't home. She's here this morning. She wasn't home, but her mother was. And I said, "You know, she visited our church last week." "Yeah, she got saved. She came home and told me she got saved." And she's here this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, I think, so. Well, I'm telling you, you can't put a price on that. Can't put a price on that. I became bus captain in that route, 90-11, and they told me, they said, "That's a tough area. Got a lot of Polish people, Puerto Ricans. It's tough area. And the highest day they'd ever had any time on that bus route is 60. And most of the time it was much lower than that. And I took it in December of 76 in the spring of 1977. Again, just like that, we had 96 on the bus. And then we had 106. And then we had 116 on a passenger bus. And it was full. And you won't believe what I'm about to tell you, but this is the God's truth. And Rich Montgomery, when he was here, he could vouch for this as being true. But I followed a bus load. I had 116 on that bus. We were stacked in there like cordwood. And I'm thinking, man, this is crowded. I'm following a bus in, and I'm looking at it, and it's sitting low. And I'm thinking, man, that thing is full. And there were 223 people on that bus. They were smashed up against the, you say, how do you control? You don't have to. They can't move. You're stuck. It was a 78 passenger bus, but 222 is little, exceeds of 70 by a little bit. And you can understand why the Hammond police had a little problem with the bus ministry once. And I mean, they were just like, what? They were smashed in there. And I'm thinking, man, my 116 looks pretty dinky compared to 222. And by the time I got ready to leave that bus, we were averaging 60 year round. Summer, winter, program, non-program, we were averaging 60. Several years ago, at the start of the school year up here at Providence, I was calling the roll and called Frank Foca. And he said, yeah, here. And he came up at the break and reminded me, my mother rode your bus to Hammond. Nanny. She and her husband are still in church down here in Terre Haute, Indiana, where Pastor Swarge is. And their boy Frank was in my class for years. He graduated, married one of the Snyder girls up there, and they're serving the Lord. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Don't tell me it's a waste of money. If one person gets saved, one, it's worth every investment you put into it. So the blessing of bringing people to church, it changes your experience with church to bring somebody with you. And then let me say last of all this morning, the blessing of learning to love people. You know, as I began to visit and work with the kids and the teens and the parents who lived in that area of my route, my heart began to get attached to them. I can close my eyes today and still see some of the faces of those who rode the bus 40-something years ago. I can still see their faces. I can see the face of the boy that I paddled on the bus. Now, can you imagine that? I watched Jim Vineyard paddle him in junior church. I'm talking about on the platform. If they misbehaved in junior church, 2,000 kids, he'd have them brought to the platform, bend in front of the whole group, and paddle them with Big Red. Things are a lot different now than they used to be. And so I thought, well, it worked for him. I got a paddle, and if they missed me, I brought old Lewis up to the front of the bus, up there in front of everybody, bend over. He's 14 years old. I whopped him good. I'm not suggesting we do that. We don't do that. But I did. And I can still see his face. I mean, on a better day than that, okay? I can still see Lewis's face. I can see the faces of those who rode and got saved. I can see faces of those who I visited and invited but never came to church. Never trusted Christ as Savior. One of the most difficult circumstances. I've told you before, and I'm not going to go into time this morning about the handicapped adult lady that I used to pick up off the steps and put on the bus seat. And she would drool and always wanted a cookie, and then she'd choke and spit it. Sometimes it would go on my clothes. And I'd pick her up when we get to church, put her in the wheelchair, and they'd take her to the Sunbeam class, the mentally handicapped class. So it was her sister. I had taken her to the door on a Sunday afternoon, and her sister I'd never seen before was older than her, Mary Ann. And she's coming to the door to open the door for Terry, and she's crying. She was a mess. I mean, a mess. Strung out on drugs. It was a mess. I talked to her about Christ. No, no. I said, let me tell you about the Lord. No. Would you come next Sunday? She's crying. She said, yes, I promise I will come with Terry next Sunday. I was so excited when I got there on Saturday to knock on the door and see if she, you know, keep your promise. And somebody, the mother came to the door, and I said, is Mary Ann here? And she said, Mary Ann went to light a gas stove, and it exploded, and she passed, she died. I was sick. I was sick to my stomach. I was so hopeful that she would ride the bus. For every one of those sad stories, there were lots of stories of people that rode and trusted Christ as their Savior. And I want to tell you something. I spent 3 years on that bus, 90-11, and then Ray Young moved me to another route, to a different division. And Joyce, you remember this. It was the year we were getting married, 79. And her dad came to pick her up from school, take her back to Iowa. And her dad rode the bus with us. And it was my last Sunday on that bus. And I wasn't prepared for that. And I started telling those kids goodbye. And I broke down. I stood at the front of the bus, and every time they got off, I wept. New tears came down my cheeks. And I love you. And I love you. And I love you. And I love you. The bus ministry really taught me a lot about how to love people. How to love people. And those are just a handful of a few blessings that I've experienced from the bus ministry. But I want to say again, the bus ministry has done far more for me than I've ever done for the bus ministry. And I want to say to the people, like Brother Allen said earlier, from this side of the auditorium to the other, from front to back, I'm grateful that we don't have a bunch of Pharisees who carry a bad attitude about those buses coming in here every Sunday. The opposite is true. A host of you work with those people that we bring in to love them. And you know what? Some of them stay. Like Delbert Britt, who's been here for a few years. Like Larry Johnson. Like Taylor Bruner. Like so many others. I could start naming. Some of them stay. Bus ministry blessings. I'm so thankful we have the opportunity to make a feast and invite everybody to come. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll please take the simple words that were said this morning and, God, use them in our hearts. It's just kind of a different day today. And I pray that you'll please make us effective in the bus ministry going forward. Help us as we try to reach people for Christ through those old bus routes. Thank you for all these in the church fellowship who labor and work and give and support the bus ministry. And may it continue to be used by you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder this morning who would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know for sure that I'm saved. Could you lift your hand this morning if you know for sure that you're saved? If you don't know for sure, thank you, take your hands down. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, I'd like to pray for you. Could you just lift your hand? We have some coming from baptism right now, so if we could, that's great. If you're here today, you're not sure that you're saved, could you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Are you saved? Are you sure of it? Do you know for sure? All right. Thank you, church, for having a great attitude and spirit about the bus ministry. And I don't expect there to be a great move to the altar this morning. I didn't really preach for decisions. Just kind of a testimonial on this Youth Emphasis Day and highlighting this morning the bus ministry. I do hope that you'll pray about your part in the Thanksgiving offering for our bus ministry in just a couple of weeks. But if the altar is always open, if you want to use it for any reason, if you need to be baptized, one has already come. Now's the time for you to obey the Lord. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and our music begins this morning. Just ask the Holy Ghost to help you. The Bible says in the book of Romans that the Holy Ghost sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. And I know that in its context, it's talking about God makes it very clear to us that He loves us. But you know what? God can shed His love abroad in your heart for others as well. You'll never regret loving people.